Welcome to another episode of ESPN's number one challenge podcast. I'm Billy Gill. I'm joined by Charlie, Chunky Dog, Hume, Charlie, Mr. Krabs, Kravis, and E-Liz. Guys, what an exciting episode of the challenge last week. What an exciting episode of ESPN's number one challenge podcast we have for you today. Nelson, the star of the last episodes on the show today, and we brought in the big guns. Field Yates is going to be breaking down some hall brawls with us. But before we get to all that, Season 8, Heavy Metals, Inside the Karolyi Gymnastics Empire, is a groundbreaking seven-part podcast series that takes listeners on a deep dive into the lives and influence of Bela and Marta Karolyi, the most successful and controversial coaches in U.S. gymnastics history. To listen to the trailer, subscribe now to the 30 for 30 feed on Apple Podcasts. The whole season drops Tuesday, July 14th on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Should we talk about the challenge?
Let's talk about
it. Let's do it. To our listeners, this is called a tease. We're going to get to the elimination. I know everyone wants to talk about the hall brawls. Everyone wants to talk about Nelson. We'll get there. But we should start with the daily challenge and what a daily challenge it was. Essentially, you had our challengers in harnesses on top of barrels, and you had one challenger at a time go car bowling and drive a car and hit the e-brake and drift and try and knock down as many barrels as possible. And there was, you know, a wide range of outcomes. Initially, we had Casey go first, and she ended up being the female winner of the competition, and everyone was around 12 to 18 barrels. Bananas went near the top, and Bananas has a ton of experience at all of these challenges. He does first look. He does all these action sports. He dominated for the guys. He knocked down all of the barrels except for one person. But then we had the stars of the show. We had Kyle and Nelson. This was the great part of the challenge because Kyle's dad is a stunt driver. And he just hit the brake 100 yards in front of these barrels and did nothing. Nelson at least had the artistry to, like, have his car take a 540 and spin out before.
That seemed impossible. It's not even like hitting a gutter in bowling. It's like if you throw the ball and it just totally sideswipes all of them and knocks absolutely nothing down. Because he went deep enough. He just missed absolutely everything.
I have, like, a deep theory on Kyle. And this hopefully just can maybe this is a bit of a Kyle apologist take. But I'm thinking that maybe he spent so much time around his dad's stunt sets, and maybe they had it slick differently so you really could hit the brakes early and go, that maybe he was expecting – because I was trying to figure out the liquid they had underneath the tires. Is that a slick material? Can you get a good, like, you know, slide out from that? And so in my mind, I think Kyle probably thought, hey, I can hit this early and I'm just going to go sliding through. And that was not the case. He stopped very short.
My thought was Kyle and Nelson didn't hit anything. Does that in theory make them better drivers because they didn't hit things?
Conspiracy theory alert. I was looking at some of the competitors on some of the attempts, and I'm going to point out one in particular that I saw, and it was in Johnny Banana's attempt in the back left corner in the shot from behind. What appeared to be Melissa just kind of almost hopping off her barrels when the car didn't necessarily come close enough to hit the barrels.
That happened with Corey as well. When Corey was trying to catch Bananas, Nelson jumped off his barrel.
So I was trying to figure out if it was maybe a thing where they got scared because the car was coming and you don't know how you're going to react when a car is flying at you and you're just standing on a couple plastic barrels, whatever they're made out of, or how much of that was, hey, we want this person in power. Whoopsie daisy, just fell off my barrels. That's like five extra barrels for your total.
I thought the exact same thing.
I also thought it was so pointless for them to be on top of the barrels because they just hung there on top of the harness. What was the point?
I totally agree. And that also brought me to my other question that I had from this challenge. We had 12 challengers go in total. Probably like, I don't know, 60 seconds of actual challenge that took place. This must have taken hours to like harness the people in, stack the three barrels on top of each other, lift each person up on their harness and put them back on top of the barrels. It made no sense and was a logistical nightmare. Had to be for production. Anyway, Bananas and Casey won.
Congratulations to Bananas and Casey. So they formed what, the tribunal, and then they had an option to bring someone in, right? And what was it? We saw the conversation that was happening right before this where Kyle sort of was begging. Maybe he wasn't begging. It's Kyle both ways. Kyle Bananas, whoever wins, bring the other person in. I think that was correct assessment.
Yeah. So essentially, there was a debate between Casey wanted to bring in Fessy, Bananas wanted to bring in Kyle. Kyle is Bananas' number one. Fessy is Casey's number one. Bananas' logic was basically that Kyle has no one else in the house, and if he doesn't get in the tribunal, he will be the house vote. And so he had to protect him, and the logic for that was no one wants to throw in Fessy because the rest of the guys don't want to face Fessy.
I would have given any sum of money. Maybe not any sum of money, but I would have paid a lot of money to see a Fessy Rogan Hall brawl. I would have loved to see Fessy make that tribunal and then come out and be like, yep, I want to make some good TV. I'll head on down.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, like, he made such a point of being like, I'm the biggest threat to Bananas. If he's smart, he'd throw me in. And they didn't even put him in the tribunal. I wonder if he got down to purgatory and was like, wow, this is a hall brawl. I actually wish I had put myself in the position to throw myself in the ring.
So Rogan essentially volunteered to go in. He knew the house was going to vote against him. And then in the tribunal, they nominated Corey and Nelson. So it was one of the two of them against Rogan.
And that brought us to sort of the climax of the entire season. I mean, obviously we'll have a final down the road, which is going to be grueling, as he just says, the most grueling final ever. But just seeing Nelson go to Bananas and go to Kyle and be like, this is my best friend. He's got a daughter at home and a child on the way. I want to throw myself in. I want to be a good friend to him and give him the best shot at winning. And do it in a way that was just so personal, because it wasn't like heroism from him. It was an act of like, I truly love my friend and I want to do what's best for him. And it was like going full circle with Nelly. And it was like, it was great to see it. He's the most earnest guy.
It was kind of crazy because it overshadowed what we had been building up for weeks, and not, you know, early on in the season, which is we thought that D was going to end up in a hall brawl, and Jenny completely botched the politics side of the game and got herself voted in somehow. And then they tossed in D to go against her. And it's something that we had been looking forward to the entire season. And Nelly just stole the show. Like, he stole the show by volunteering to go in so that his friend Corey could have a better shot at winning $1 million for his two kids.
Yeah, and well, obviously we'll talk to Nelson a little bit later about some of that. But, I mean, that was a legitimately moving, tear-jerking moment. I mean, I was on a sofa with my wife who was, like, sobbing. I feel like it's really interesting how Nelson must have had a sort of reflective moment after all the things that happened earlier in the season that kind of cast him in a negative light to say, like, hey, I have to carry myself differently for the rest of the season. And then just, like, went out and did it. And I think, you know, again, we'll get into this in the interview, but like picking out certain people who were having hard times and were upset and who needed someone to talk to, or maybe who were isolated in terms of a house vote, and just sat down and was, you know, good in talking to them. And I think that, you know, culminating in this truly selfless moment that you know, was touching even to someone like the most cynical of players, like Banana, who's trying to always game the game in his favor, you know, was really genuinely moved by this gesture from Nelson. I thought that was just like just amazing television.
Should we talk to Field about the elimination?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. We are debuting a new segment that we are all very excited about here on ESPN's Number One Challenge podcast. And I think there is an order of thanks for the segment. First, we have to go to Mina Kimes' close personal friend, Mr. Krabs. And then secondarily from there, Mina Kimes for having our next guest on her podcast. But finally, we're most thankful to Field Yates for joining us now. Field is not only an NFL expert, but he is a fan of the challenge. So, Field, let's start right there. Like, how did you become a fan of the show?
I am from Massachusetts. And as you guys may know, we don't have a ton of professional athletes from the state of Massachusetts. We have the great Hasselbeck brothers, Tim and Matt, now colleagues of ours at ESPN. We've got a good number of hockey players. Hockey, obviously, one of the most popular sports in the Northeast. You've got so many reputable programs, BC, BU. But we didn't have a ton of other athletes. And you guys also, I'm sure, are very aware of the fact that CT is one of the great Massachusetts men of all time. And so as a kid, I needed a hero. And I found that hero in CT. Now, there have been some misgivings in CT's resume. Let's be honest. His career has been a little bit topsy-turvy. This season is a great testament to that. But that is Apex. I think he's the most dominant challenge competitor of all time, at least amongst men. And as a result of his heritage in Massachusetts, he became someone that I always followed. And that was really what drew me into the challenge and why I've kept coming back for more.
CT, we've watched his highlights on the show numerous times, and he is one of the greatest hall brawl type competitors of all time. And on last night's episode, we had a double elimination. We had a women's and a men's hall brawl. And so as that is basically a glorified version of the Oklahoma drill, we thought, who better to bring on to break this down than Field Yates? So let's just go through it. Let's hear your notes.
You know, I've got a lot of thoughts specifically about Jenny in watching this one. If you had to make a list of the female competitors that were still in the challenge as of last night's show, Jenny's got to be the unquestioned number one you least want to face, right? I mean, she has been top-notch, start to finish, throughout this season, and basically checks off every box of a well-rounded challenge competitor. She's incredible, right? I mean, that was like that. The first win for Jenny was not complete. There's always like enough momentum and enough, I would say, adrenaline to sort of stunt your opponent just temporarily, but just a pretty thorough waxing here from Jenny.
It was like, also a good redemption story.
It's been impressive. Yeah.
That's actually an interesting point, Billy, because that shows a difference in hall brawl strategy that we've seen from Jenny compared to like a Tori. Tori sort of approached it like a safety coming downhill, hitting like a Deion Lewis scat back running back in Jenny last year. It was really about that first impact. Jenny to me was like, she's a dancing bear out there. And I say this as someone who's a former fat kid, former offensive lineman in high school, but she stayed behind her pads. She got extension. She chopped her feet and she drove D all the way through the bell. I mean, that's like an offensive lineman drill that they'll teach you from eighth grade through high school.
Yeah, Field, talk us through that technique a little bit, because that was it. She moved D pretty easily from start to finish.
Well, so I was thinking about this if I were ever put into hall brawl. And I think the first thing that if I were, whether I were the superior physical specimen or the inferior physical specimen, I do think there is something to be said about being the first competitor past the halfway point of the hall. Because if you're past the halfway point, you got a decision to make. I can try to fight through, or I can just olay this person and let him or her run right past me and just hope that my speed carries me over. I think Jenny kind of just said, you know what? Not only am I faster to the midway point, but I'm going to meet you force on force. And eventually it was like, yeah, it's going to be fun for a second. I'm going to let you kind of sort of be dragged behind me, almost like when my dog refuses to keep walking and I've got him on the leash and he's just laying on the ground and I'm like, just keep on scooting here, bud. We got to get back to the house. You can have your breakfast or lunch. And then next thing you know, it's just like, no, I'm going to break free. And did her knees even touch the ground, Jenny, at all? Like, I don't think this never came to a stop to the point that she had to reset her feet. This was Derrick Henry in some ways, right? This was Derrick Henry against Earl Thomas in the playoffs.
Yeah, that actually kind of takes us into the men's hall brawl, and that pitted Rogan against Nelson.
So let me start by saying, I got kind of a bone to pick with Rogan throughout this season. And if he's come on the show or is going to be on the show later, just don't tell him to listen to this part, because Rogan could probably inflict pain on me if he so desired. But Rogan's power play early in the season was smart in the sense that he wanted that red skull early, which is really smart, as we saw. Late in the season, people are, you know, Kyle is trying to offer himself up to the houseboat and he's getting overruled by Corey and the family thing. It's like, you know, how can you argue against a guy who's trying to win money for his kids? But Rogan, early on in the season, plays the macho man card. Like, I'm going to go out there. And as if taking out Jay is some, like, substantial badge of honor. Let's be honest with ourselves. Jay's defeat of CT was surprising, but that was let's be honest, that was a cardiovascular thing, right? Like, he had much more stamina than CT, and he happened to break a lock a little bit faster. So, Rogan, tough guy, but I think he took the easy way out. Yeah, that was 100% CT beating CT. Completely agree there. I just think that, like, Rogan kind of bothered me throughout the has bothered me throughout the season, because I think he is really tough, as we're watching here right now, where even though Nelson's putting up a much more admirable fight than I was expecting, because this is sort of like two guys who they just locked up. And it's a matter of Rogan's got more power. Nelson's a little bit more slippery. And, like, he's got a chance here. It looks like the door is open. It looks like Nelson is going to find to potentially escape. And he's close enough and he's fast enough that he can steal a victory, at least one of the necessary two victories. And instead, Rogan ends up doing what Rogan does, which is just sort of finding a way to power through it. But I'm sort of out on Rogan this season. Is that too unfair?
our stats guy also regularly trashes Rogan. I think we've trashed Rogan on a few occasions. Rogan, hey, if you're listening, still come on the pod, defend yourself. We'd love to hear your perspective on this.
Rogan was the first challenger to pay any attention to us on Twitter, so yeah. We liked him for a few days, but that was very early on in the season, so we're not disputing anything you said.
Yeah. So if he does come on the podcast, my bad.
It's funny how you don't respect him this year when last year when he won the title, he didn't go in once, I don't think, to an elimination. And this is like still, you respect this not at all, but it's still a step up from his less respectable season last season.
That's actually a very fair point. Maybe I need to rethink my stance on Rogan this year. I just thought that he played up the really dramatic, I'm taking Jay out because Jay deserves it and this is personal. I'm like, dude, you're taking out Jay because you look at a guy who, we don't have the official height weight, but like you look at him about 6 inches and 100 pounds on him and you want that red score.
What do you think about the Jay faking his concussion conspiracy theory that Kravitz brought up?
That is an interesting, very interesting thought there. But Jay also got clocked. Like Jay got clocked. And when I saw that hit, I just expected them to just feel like, and scene. Like, you know, Jay, I don't know Jay's last name. Jay was a great competitor in our challenge. He has been medically retired.
So, Field, I have one question, one specific sort of technique question here on the Nelson-Rogan Hall Brawl, which is we saw Nelson, like, take a lot of heat in round one of the Hall Brawl for when he had pulled Rogan almost to, like, it looks like there are, like, five poles on this plexiglass little hallway, almost to his second pull, where he was pretty close to his bell, and Corey and others were yelling, hey, like, turn and go get the bell, right? But I don't know if they missed it or couldn't see it. I have the still up here. It looked like Rogan was almost able to kind of horse collar Nelson a little bit, grab him around the back of the shoulder pads and hold him in place to re-grip him. So I don't know that it was as easy as people maybe thought for Nelson to turn and go to that bell when he was close to it.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you guys have been on sidelines for some football game at any level. The worst view in football is on the sideline. And yet, we, when we're watching TV, constantly crush coaches for their in-game decision-making. How did you not see that? And why didn't you challenge it? Why aren't you calling a timeout? Why didn't you realize the down and distance? All this stuff. Coaches are players. And it's like, when you're on the field, it's the worst view. I make that analogy because we're sitting here like, and I agree with you. It's like, man, he kind of does look, you know, 40% away or 60% of the way there to the bell. But like, that feels like one of those things that when you're Corey and you're, you know, 50 yards away and you've got a 25-foot vertical view, a lot easier said than done. So I don't begrudge. I actually thought Nelson fared fairly well. I understand sort of a binary outcome side to this where it doesn't really matter whether you like show good effort. It's you win or you lose. But I was more impressed than I kind of expected myself to be.
Also, to be fair to Nelson, if anyone got a concussion on this show, it was Nelson, because Rogan came in, crown of the helmet down, and there was a helmet-to-helmet collision on the first Hall Brawl.
Are but you this, guys surprised that Hall Brawl still exists?
Stunned.
100%.
Absolutely stunned.
It's one of the differentiating factors that makes this show still great is that they just lean into the fact that the Oklahoma drill is still acceptable in the challenge.
We have a working theory that the reason they do these in like Croatia and Prague and all these different places is because they couldn't get away with half of these competitions in America.
That's actually a really good point. You got to wonder like what kind of waivers would be required if we were, I don't know, is there like a different medical waiver if this was conducted in like, I don't know, some really cool place in Arizona, I don't know, or California or something. Maybe that's part of the reason why, besides the fact that it's a really cool thing to do on site. TJ Lavin, dream job. We all know that. It's an established fact.
He's the best. Final question, Field. Dream NFL Hall Brawl. Who you got?
Aaron Donald and Derrick Henry. Just two rockets going back and forth. Those two guys, I can't even imagine what that looks like. I don't want to imagine what that looks like.
That would be absolutely scintillating. I think we'd get like an explosion of plexiglass somewhere around the middle of the hallway.
Totally.
Field, you were great to join us. It sounds like your dogs are wrapping us up right now. Give them nice pets for us. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on, and hope you enjoy the rest of the challenge.
Right back to you guys. Thank you so much for having me on and keep being the definitive and number one challenge podcast, not just at ESPN, but in the world.
Love that. That's aspirational.
We're joined now by, I want to say, our favorite challenger of this season. And I mean, you can already hear him. I don't even need to say his name. You already know him from the glass. He's one of the nicest people just in the conversations that we've had. I feel like we're friends with Nelson already. And I'm sure he's just nice like this to everybody, so he makes everyone feel like this. But we're joined now by Nelson Thomas, who, in a way, this season has been the Nelson season, even though you didn't make it to the final.
Right, man. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm happy to join y'all. It's a blessing being here and getting to talk to y'all. Ah, man, I wish I can call this my season. I've been gone for two seasons, so you know it's not over. I'm not gonna call it Nelson season. I'm gonna call it the beginning of Nelson season, and y'all gonna see a lot of big change, a lot of growing, and that's one of these things I've learned from this show. I've grown a lot from this show, and if it wasn't for this show, to be honest with you, being on a challenge, I don't know where I would be. So it's a blessing in disguise. And for MTV giving me the opportunity to show every side of me, because all my layers came out this season. I think everybody saw each layer of me. And some people weren't proud of it. Some people judged me. Some people hated me. You know, some people loved me. And that's the kind of things you deal with being on this reality TV, is because people see everything. The last thing they see on TV, and they just think that's who you are. So I thank God that MTV definitely showed the good side of me.
Absolutely. And last night was pretty emotional for all of us watching it. There was, you know, an incredible moment of friendship and strength on your part. What was it like watching that episode back for you?
It was hard. It was hard because I didn't get the job done. And I still feel it to this day, because seeing how close I was to winning that elimination, I literally jumped out of my couch and screamed and started cussing and yelling at myself. It's like, Nelson, are you serious? You were this close. And this takes me back to when I almost won Challenge 29s, when I lost to CT by 2 minutes, being this close. And this is my second time being this close to the final, dude. My second time being this close to the final. And watching this back on TV, I felt everything, and I kind of got a little sad, and it just makes me want to get back in the gym. It makes me want to even work 10 times harder. And because if you saw, man, I lost my focus. I was so close to the bell. My mindset at that moment was, don't let go of Rogan. I wasn't focused on where my bell was, where I should have been. You know, when it comes to that elimination, not only do you have to worry about your opponent, you have to know your surroundings and where you're at. And I lost track of that. Oh, and that initial impact, oh my God. You saw my eyes, you saw the scratches. I'm not even gonna tell you what my body looked like after that. My shoulder, my back, my hip, you know, but you're so in the moment, you're not even feeling pain. I didn't feel that pain until it was all over, until I walked out and I fell down on one knee. And I was like, wow, that was a hit. And not only that, that second round, when TJ said, get ready for that second round, you know, I didn't even think twice. I was ready to go because I knew I had the endurance that Rogan didn't have. I knew I was ready to go after that one. And I can tell looking at him, he was breathing so hard that I can go again right now. But what I should have done is take the time, relax, breathe, and realize my mistake, which I didn't. I was so focused on going into that second round, I didn't realize what I did wrong in the first round, because I was upset. After losing that first round, you got to realize you only got one more chance until you're going home. And that's in my head. So right then and there, you're second guessing yourself.
The end of that, I mean, it felt like we were in a movie, like the end of Any Given Sunday or something, where you're just like on the battlefield down there. And I think that kind of went with the whole character arc you had this season, which was nothing short of cinematic, where we started in a place where you were making, you know, certain decisions where, as you kind of said, there are some of them were head scratchers, but you kind of went on this arc where you ended up in a place where you were like one of the most lovable TV characters that some of us like have ever seen. So this, it's kind of funny because you were the only person on the challenge, which we had a segment around you every single week. We asked every single one of our guests about you every week, right? And so I have a segment open that I want to play for you, and it shows you kind of where we started and some of the things we heard from them, where we kind of ended up.
God.
And then I got a question for you off of this, all right?
What's the deal with Nelson?
The deal.
What the f*** is up with Nelson?
What's up with Nelson? I don't know, but I love it.
Nelson.
What's the deal with Nelson?
Nelson is the gift we do not deserve.
I like Nelson. He's got a great heart.
Nelson is a character.
He's a character. He really is.
He's very supportive of Corey.
He's very loyal to Corey. They were like glue.
I think what he's doing this season is actually really smart because he's playing his role.
I'm team Nelly T this season, man. I just
he's a delight.
He's a delight. He really is, man.
So, Nelson, this is going to be the final version ever, unless you come back on. The final version ever of What's the Deal with Nelson. So I just want to ask you, just so the audience can understand a little better, when you have these two Nelsons that you see throughout the season, how do you kind of reconcile those two in your own mind?
So basically, I was just playing the cards I was given. Walking into this season, I look to my left, I look to my right, and I'm like, damn, all I got is Corey here. All these new prospects, all the people I did play with in seasons past hate me. I have no alliance here at all, at all. And I'm thinking like, okay, Corey is cool with Jenna. He's cool with Kayla. He's cool with Anissa. He's cool with some of the guys. So he could only protect me so much, you know, at that time. So I had to go out looking. I had to build an alliance. I had to build friendships. And if you're in my position and you look around, you see prospects. Okay, you got Jay. Jay's a prospect. He's coming from X on the beach, just like me. He doesn't know nobody. He doesn't have no alliances. Nobody's reached out to him. So that went number one. Then I took Bailey and Swaggy into account. I'm like, that comes in two. So that's two votes. Them being prospects, I'm like thinking, okay, I can talk to them too. And then I just start putting my hands in every little basket. I'm like, you know what? I promise you this. I can protect you this week. I never said I was going to take you to the final. You know, I always told, read the fine line, people. I have to do what I have to do to make it every week. This game changes up every week. Everybody knows who my number one is. That's not going to change. But if I can help you that week, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to help you that week because I know damn well when push comes to shove and they get rid of these prospects, it's going to come down to me. It's going to dwindle down to me. And then I already put myself in a hole with Kayla, with Anissa, with Jenna, the Holy Trinity. I'm like, damn, that's like four girls that are going to go against me. So I'm thinking in my head, after going off on Anissa and then going off on Kayla, I was like, there's no way I'm going to build an alliance. Nobody's going to trust me. Nobody's going to want to work with me. They see what I speak my mind. I'm very outspoken. And sometimes, you know, my mouth gets me in trouble. We all know that. We all know that, you know, it does. And there's a lot of things I regret this season, but I always told people, man, it's not how you fall. It's how you get back up. I've always lived by that, you know. A lot of people hated me after the whole Kayla situation and me yelling at her and the way I talked to her. It was hard for me to even watch on TV. I got a phone call right after that from my mom, and she just really upset with me and disappointed because she didn't raise me to raise my voice at any woman like that and make her feel some type of way. So watching that, it made me realize, like, wow. Even moments after that, not even watching it on TV, moments after that, when people try to talk to me about what I did, I had to take time to myself and like Nelson, this is not who you are. Why are you letting these people get the best of you? This is not in your character. But you got to realize being in that bunker, being locked up with people, some people you don't like, not seeing any daylight, living a nightmare every day, waking up in a cold. And I was living a nightmare. I was letting everything get to me. And I definitely lost myself in that bunker a little bit. I let them get the best of me. But as time went on, and I saw, like, okay, Nelson, take a moment, breathe, talk to your best friend, and get your shit together. Get your shit together. Like I said, having regrets with Kayla, I do regret the way I talked to her, and I wish I could take it back, but I can't. I apologize to her, and it's time for me to do better and move on from the situation. And there's a lot of people that judge me for that. I got a lot of backlash from that. And I respected everybody's opinion. If you liked me, if you didn't like me, no matter what. And I knew I was wrong.
So you kind of talked about coming into this season, your one ally, your one friend. You knew you were going to have Corey by your side. Can you talk to us about your friendship with Corey? Because it is heartwarming. We love the two of you together.
Man, Corey and I have came so far, man. It's ridiculous. You know, we met each other on a challenge. He dated my ex-girlfriend, Cheyenne. That's his baby mama now. That's Ryder's mom. And that's crazy, right? What kind of friendship did that come from? That's just a total mess, right? But ever since that day, man, we've rocked with each other. We spent so much time outside of the game in L.A. I met his mom. I met his grandma. I know his dad. He knows my mom. He's came to Thanksgiving with me, to my family. He's called me for advice. I've called him for advice. He's seen me at my worst. I've seen him at his worst. And I'm not just talking about the challenge. I'm talking about outside of the challenge and just going through life and how we're so much alike in how we grew up and what we want for each other. It was just for MTV to bring us together, man. I got lucky to have a brother out of this. I got lucky to have a best friend and a brother. And I will always be here for him. No matter what, I've always had his back, even when all guns are aiming at me. We ride or die for each other, and we've always said that. No matter how much is on the line, we're always going to have each other back through thick and thin.
When you went in, when they all voted you in and Corey turned around and watched you go down into purgatory, and I turned over to my left side, my wife was sobbing when you went in. And then Corey started to get a little eyes watering, and I was about to lose it myself. Did you shed a tear last night while you were watching this, Nelson?
you might as well say I shed a tear. I did, man. I'm not going to be honest with you, because Corey didn't know. He didn't know. I told Johnny and Kyle and Casey to vote me in. He didn't find out until we got to purgatory. And I wrote him a little letter before going into elimination, because we're right. It takes an hour to get to elimination, to purgatory, to get there. So we sit next to each other on the bus, and he's like, I can see in his head, he's thinking about the elimination all day, stretching. We're talking. And I can just see it. But back in my head, I already knew I was going in, but I didn't want to tell him that because I didn't want him to change my mind, and I didn't want him to change Kyle's mind. I didn't want him to change Johnny's mind or Casey. I wanted to tell him then before I got there. I was like, bro, just in case I cannot talk to you again, bring it home. This is your season, bro. And you know what? I don't regret this, not one bit. Let's go get it.
That's epic. I love that so much.
One of my favorite things from really this whole season is we saw you stand up for Anissa, become friends with Bailey, and just really like grow your personal relationship with people in the house. It became really apparent that one of your biggest rivals used to be Johnny, and that you guys are kind of friends now. How did your relationship evolve over this season?
Oh my God. You know, that is a question I've gotten a lot. Everybody knows Johnny's and I have never seen eye to eye at all. But this season, I think it was the bunker. I think of being in that bunker, man, you don't realize we only had each other. It wasn't like future seasons where we had the pool, we had the hot tub, we were partying all day. No, this bunker brought us together. It really did, because I've seen Johnny at his worst. It was a moment that he didn't even want to be there no more. He was sick in bed, couldn't even get out of bed. He didn't want to be there anymore. He was just like, look, I'm done, dude. But with him winning that red skull, it brought him back to life. But what brought us together, man, it's just having each other. Me and Johnny had talks there, and one-on-one talks, and we would laugh, we would smile. You know, it was kind of rough in the beginning when we first got there. We all had a, you know, back toward these, like, okay, who's going to come after me first? You know, I said Johnny's name first. Bessie and I said Johnny's name, but it was expected. But one thing he did, he came up to me, you know what, Nelson? I respect you for saying my name and not throwing your vote away. At least you stuck to your guns, unlike other people. A lot of other people were supposed to say his name, but they didn't. They changed their mind. And he respected the fact that I stayed loyal and I stuck to my word. So after that, me and him just started having conversations. We started talking, and we start to laugh. And Johnny's a good dude. At the end of the day, he's a character. He's here to make TV. He plays it. He's a vet in his game. You gotta respect the man's game. You gotta respect what he's done for the challenge in general, man. And don't tell him I said this. I do kind of like him a little bit. I'm not going to lie. And I do respect the man. But that's between you and I, man. Me and him came a long way. And right now, I can call him my friend. Now, when it comes to this game and alliances, I don't know about that one.
That's what he said about Wes. That's what he said about Wes.
It's hard because, you know, he did try to throw Corey and I against each other when I took out Bear. You saw his vote. I can't be mad at him because I said his name as soon as I could. As soon as I heard the house was going against him, I was like, oh. Get rid of Johnny? Yeah. Let's get it. Let's do it.
That's one of the highlights, Nelson, of every season is seeing how it is that Johnny's going to turn TYB against each other and have you guys try to eliminate each other in challenges.
We thought that was going to happen. We thought history was going to repeat itself. You got to realize throughout the seasons, it's always me and Hunter, Hunter and Corey, or Corey and I going against each other.
Yeah.
And they know season. That. They know that. They tried to do it this season. But you know what happened? Wes was up there. Maddie was up there. And they fed me the bear. And I had to teach the bear a little lesson. So that's what happened, baby.
Well, and that's kind of funny because this was one of Charlie Kravitz's theories a couple weeks ago where we thought that maybe in the daily elimination or the daily challenge where y'all were all holding up the barrels and Fessy was the one who ended up winning, that Corey was trying to make a play to throw Bananas in and that maybe this week Bananas is going to try to turn around and throw Corey in as retribution, but that he was so sincerely moved by you coming and talking to him that he decided to you know give you a request and put you in. And I'm just wondering, based on what you said a couple, you know, an answer ago about the bunker, because we've heard everybody talk about this who comes on, do we think we're going to like leave this season and in future seasons, whatever that looks like of this show, that what happened in this bunker, that there's going to be sort of a bonding effect where the relationships are stronger for whatever reason because of what y'all went through?
I think the bond has gotten a lot stronger with me and a lot of competitors there. I think a lot of people have gained I've gained a lot of respect for a lot of people, and they've gained a lot of respect for me. And being in a bunker, living with each other, we found out a lot about each other, a lot, man. You learn a lot once you start listening, you know, and stop just watching people. Just actually listen to the person and where they come from, what they're fighting for. Because we're all there fighting for something, man. You know, if it's for family, if it's for your career, if it's for something, dude. And we all have loved ones that we miss back at home. And it's hard to be apart for so long. And we're a family. At the end of the day, you got to realize what this show comes on 2 times a year, maybe. So we're with each other 2 times out of the month, maybe if we get that call. So we become a little small family. Now, we might be a dysfunctional family. But we're still at the end of the day. TV brought us together. And we come from all parts of the world, man. And we do. And it's crazy to put us all in one bunker and expect these people to get along. With all the guys and all the women being alphas in the house, come on now. This is a scientific experiment. This is an experiment. 20 people, 10 guys, 10 women, fight for $1 million. Deceive each other, lie to each other, stab each other in the back, hook up with each other, and you know, and try to make it to the top. The biggest thing this season, and I want to thank you, TJ. Thank you. The Red Skull. We changed the game up. TJ changed the game up, baby. A Red Skull, you had to get a Red Skull to qualify for TJ's final. So you actually got to prove yourself. You actually got to prove yourself in purgatory to qualify for that final. That's the way it should be. You're not just skating by. You're not just skating by this season. You're not just riding somebody's back. You're not just getting, you're the underdog or they're saving you for the last bit so they can go against you. No, it's not like that. You have to earn your way into the final. And that's what I loved about this season. I think the viewers, the fans loved it too. Don't get me wrong. Everybody loves a politic game. And I know that plays a huge part of the game. And that kind of takes away from it. But does it really? Does it really? Because you still got to politic your way into the game to go against a certain opponent. And you got to respect Rogan. Rogan didn't go into one elimination last season. One elimination. And for him, then he go against Jay. Then he goes against Jay. Yeah. And I'm not saying Jay's not a strong competitor. I'm not taking that. But let's be real. The reason why he went against Jay because he was a smaller dude. And he knew he could take full advantage of him. And that's truly what Rogan did. That's what Jenny did against Jen. We all saw that. We all saw that play out too. So with Rogan going back in there against me, I think he needed to solidify himself that he's a true competitor, that he's here to compete. He's just not going to skate by. So, TJ, even though you You were supposed to tell us we were going to the final after that last challenge. You know, I love that. I loved it, man. I think it plays a huge difference. I think it changed the whole game up. And it really opened up people's eyes because you can tell, really, we're fighting to stay out of elimination. People are fighting to stay out. Mm. Corey and guys like me, we want to go in there. We love that. We love that one-on-one. We love the lights on us. Camera lights, action, Friday night lights, as you said. That's what it's all about. All eyes on you. Not only you ain't got a team, nobody to help you to get there. You actually got to go down there and earn your way. Earn that red skull. Earn your stripes. And whoever goes down and does it, you got to respect the person. No matter what it is, a carnival game, a physical match, a puzzle, no matter what it is, because the outcome, only one person is coming home. And that's what I love.
The Red Skull has been great this season, and I think that you see it when you see reports that this is the highest rated challenge that's been on in 8 years, something like that. And I'm wondering, you started at MTV like 5 years ago on Are You the One? Then you went on X on the Beach. You've been on the challenge. Did you, I guess, when you aspired to be on Are You the One originally, did you ever see that this would be your thing where you're sitting down and you're having interviews with People Magazine, you're on the highest rated season of the challenge in years? You're having this moment where everyone's like, oh my God, Nelson. Like, I can't believe what he did with Corey. It has to be crazy to you as someone that probably grew up watching shows like this to be in the center of all of it.
Let me tell you something, man. And this is true. When I was growing up as a kid, I used to pray to God and say, look, all I want is $1 million and travel to the world. That's all I want, God. That's all I want. Thank you. That's all I want, right? He's blessed me with both opportunities, travel the world and have an opportunity to win $1 million. And to be honest with you, I never watched the challenge growing up. This is how oblivious I was to the challenge. Going on to the challenge, I didn't even know it was a competitive game. I thought it was just a party. I said I wanted to be the first black guy to win a champion, to be a champ. Guess who was the first black guy? Darrell was. That's how you knew I was just talking out my ass. I didn't even watch the challenge. I didn't. When I got to the airport with Amanda, Rivals 3 was my first season. I talked. I was like, so do you know what we're doing? Or is this like some dating thing where Are You the One? We're just partying. We're doing some bull-ass challenges and that's it. I mean, I love to work out. I was already in good shape. I love to compete. I've always loved the gym. I ran track, played football, basketball. I just love sports in general. I love to compete. I loved it. I just loved it. But I never knew God blessed me with this opportunity to compete in front of the world. In front of the world on the challenge. And you know what? To be honest with you, I was never the best at football. I was never on the A team. I was always on a B team. I was never the fastest on a track. I was never a D1 kind of guy. I wasn't, and I knew that. But I was that guy that wouldn't give up. I was that underdog. I was driven. I wouldn't stop. You'll see me in a weight room. If the weight room closes at 5, hey, coach, can I stay here till 6? Can I run another lap? Can I do another route? Because growing up, I didn't have nobody to teach me to play football, to play basketball. I wasn't on my first team until I was in high school, freshman year, football. I didn't know what it was about. I just knew my friends liked to play, and I was like, oh, I'm kind of good. I can get picked up. And I was the last guy to get picked on the team. I was the last guy, but I knew I liked to compete. I knew I liked to push my body to the fullest. And when this opportunity presented itself to be on a challenge, I was like, wow. After Rivals 3, after my first elimination with Amanda, I remember that day, I was like, this is me. This is where God wants me. This is where I'm supposed to be right now. Now it's time to get to the drawing board. Now it's time to start training. Now it's time to get your mind right. Because every season is different. I'm thinking all I got to do is run fast. All I got to do is jump higher. No, I got to start doing puzzles. I got to start doing math. Not only do I have to build my body, but I have to build my mind mentally just to be in this game. So I was like, wow, you have to be a well-rounded player. So, man, when I did Are You the One 5 years ago, you know the show I did before that was a dating show called Baggage on the Road, hosted by Jerry Springer. The game show. Yes, on the game show network.
That's the one that it had like the suitcases and you had to open it and guess whose baggage it was. It was like a dirty secret.
Dirty Secret. That was me. I ended up winning that show. So that's how Are You the One caught a hold of me. That's how they caught a hold of me. And my agent said, look, you won that dating show with Jerry Springer, which he's cool as shit. He went up to dinner and everything.
Wait, what?
Cool as hell. Yeah.
Why'd you go to dinner with Jerry Springer?
So after the show, we all went out to eat and stuff like that. We had a good time. And that was really it. You know, we shooting the had a drink. He was in Austin. And after winning that show, I was supposed to go on a date with a girl that I won the show with. I find out she lied to me. She says, I got to tell you something. I have a boyfriend and a son back at home. I just did this show to win the $500. I was like, oh, okay, well, I won too. So we both won. So I ended up going to dinner with Jerry instead of her. So it was hilarious, man. And then next thing you know, Are You the One in Hawaii for a whole month. And this is how God works. I literally just graduated college with a communication degree. I was working the club industry. I was working till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I was that door guy. I was the guy picking up the bottles. I was a bar back, washing dishes, doing what I need to do to pay for rent and get my way through college. And I had no idea what I was going to do after college. I ended up doing an internship in LA at RCA Records, but I knew that wasn't for me. It wasn't my calling. And I was doing my whole acting stuff. I'd done TV shows, commercials, here and there. And that's what I fell in love with. And I was also in love with the gym. So after I graduated, I talked to my agent. And I was like, yo, I might just move out to LA and chase my acting career and just go do that and see how long it takes me. I get a phone call 2 weeks later from MTV. Say, hey, would you like to be on Are You the One? Go to Hawaii for a month. You could win approximately, go home with about $20,000. And we're going to just pay you $1,500 right now. And I'm like, well, I'm broke right now. Hell yeah, go to Hawaii for a month after college and get to just party and have fun with people? Hell, sign me up. So after doing Are You the One, man, months later, got a call for the challenge. And I'm like, we're teamed up with Amanda? I'm like, oh, let me think twice about this. Me and Amanda didn't like each other. Me and Amanda hated each other. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it. Let me go. I have nothing else on my plate. What is there to lose? End up doing Rivals 3, and it just took off from there, man. I don't know what MTV saw in me, but I thank them because, like I said, I wouldn't know where I'd be at today if it wasn't for MTV, to be honest with you. It really, truly changed my life around, opened a lot of doors for me. And it's the best roller coaster I've ever been on. And I hope not to get off of it.
Nelson, this has been an absolute delight. We have so much love talking to you. We've so much love following you over the course of the season. And the way this is all culminated with last night's episode, having you on, getting to know you better, this has been amazing. So thank you sincerely for taking the time. This has been so enjoyable.
Oh, we're done. I was just having fun.
I mean, we can do another. I tell you what, Nelson. I mean, we can book you in a couple weeks. I mean, you can be a recurring guest. We can have a, you know, what's the deal with Nelson segment anytime you want, man. We love talking to you, man.
Maybe we could do a segment with TYB. You know, that'd be kind of cool. All three of us on here. Hey, something to think about, right?
We've only not had Corey on. We had Fessy on and nerded out over his athletic prowess. So yeah, let's get all TYB on, man.
Hunter on too. Hunter got, like, you know, Hunter's in the making, man. Don't count my boy out. Just
I'm ready for the Hunter comeback. I know it's coming.
It's coming, man. That's my guy, man. And these three guys, you know, we're gonna live our life to the fullest, and we hope to bring everything y'all love to TV. And if it wasn't for y'all fans and friends, we wouldn't be here, man. So it's a blessing for y'all to tune in and just opportunities like just getting to talk to y'all and doing these podcasts, man. I take that a lot to heart, man. So don't. Thank you. That's all I got. I'm smiling right now, man. Thank you so much.
I mean,
much.
Look at all of us, man. This is a blast. We loved it. And TYB segment coming soon. Nelson, I know the season's over, but loved watching you and hope to see you back on soon.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Thank all of y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Nelson for joining us. Really fun conversation with someone that we've wanted to talk to for a long time. So we've now recapped the Hall Brawl. We've talked to Nelly T. Let's get right to Eliz's recipe of the week.
So for today's recipe, we are going with what I think is the perfect summer side dish, a chilled ramen slaw.
Ooh.
Bear with me. It's going to be weird. There's going to be some weird raw ramen noodles, but it works. So start off by crushing a bag of ramen noodles. Can be any flavor because you are not going to use the seasoning packet. You're going to throw the crushed ramen into a bowl, add 3/4 cup each of sunflower seeds, like hulled, I don't know, just the inside, and sliced almonds. And then you're going to add a bag of coleslaw mix, so just the cabbage and carrots, no dressing or anything, and like slice up 3 to 4 green onions or scallions, throw that in there. Do not mix it up. In a measuring cup, you're going to whisk together 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 1/3 cup of white vinegar, and 1/4 cup of sugar. Whisk it together. Try to dissolve some of the sugar. Probably won't all dissolve. And that's your dressing. You're going to pour that over everything in the bowl. So it's going to sink to the bottom where the ramen and the almonds and the seeds are, kind of maybe soften the ramen a little bit. Put it in the fridge for like 2 hours. Prep anything else you're going to make. Go watch some TV, do whatever you're going to do. Come back 2 hours later, toss it all together. So now everything's evenly dispersed. And it is so good and light and refreshing. And it's not like a mayo-based coleslaw. It's very crunchy. It's delicious.
Also, it's got some crunch to it. I like that. Like, that's the ramen noodles.
Lots of textures.
I thought for sure you're going to say, go away for 2 hours and watch reruns of The Challenge on Pluto TV. Did I get the name of the network right?
It is Pluto TV.
You're a plug machine.
I live to plug.
I
gotta be honest. You know how some people don't like plugging stuff? Dan doesn't like doing that. Like, I love plugging stuff.
You don't
I just
say.
Love it. I mean, out of the goodness of my heart, you know, just to give these businesses, these people, you know,
all out of the goodness of your heart.
I mean, you know, you got this massive platform, ESPN.
Okay, so I think
podcast.
I used Blue Diamond almonds and Fresh Express coleslaw mix. I don't really know what else.
Oh, we're plugging. That's right. Oh yeah, what else can we plug?
Oh.
Could you use instant ramen in this, or would that be a no-no?
I don't know how to pronounce. What's the one that starts with an M? I think maybe
Marushan?
I think I used that maybe.
Oh yeah, that's like the classic. That's like the OG of ramen. Shout out Marushan.
I used some grocery store sunflower seeds.
David's?
Oh my god.
David's Jumbo?
David's are in the shell, aren't they?
Well, yeah, you could shell. Actually, I wonder if
you're not shelling 3/4 cup of sunflower.
How are you going to do that? Are you going to do you eat them and you spit out the shell and you also spit out the seed? No,
you buy them shelled.
But nothing beats David's.
Nothing beats David's. What was the seed competitor? Kravis, do you remember the seed competitor for baseball in high school? The ones where they made the even bigger seeds? Were they called jumbo seeds?
I have no idea, but I'll furiously Google.
I thought it was like a green bag. Yeah, I love sunflower seeds. I'm glad this recipe has sunflower seeds.
You love sunflower
seeds.
If there's one thing that Chunky Dog loves, it's sunflower seeds and plugging things.
I feel like this sounds like a weird recipe, but you just have to trust me. It's so good.
This is amazing.
Fresh and delightful, that looks.
That looks fresh and delightful.
David and Sons sunflower seeds. It's a Fresno company.
Let's go, Fresno, California. I'd like to give a little plug to Fresno, California.
A city?
A place where I was raised, area code 559.
Yeah.
Clovis West High School. Let's go Golden Eagles.
So many plugs just happened.
It's insane. Before we get to the final thought, can I just a bridge to get from one thing to a final thought? We may sponsor a basketball tournament, and I'll just leave that at that. All right, Eliz, final thoughts?
Work hard, be kind, and stay as humble as Nelson.
Wow. My heart.
We love you, Nelson.
Such a good friend.
Such a good friend.
Best
like
friends.
To Corey, hard, not to us.
Work hard, be kind.
No, to us.
Be a friend like Nelson.
Be as good a friend to Nelson as Nelson is to us. What?
Good a friend to your friends as Nelson is to Corey.
To us.
Oh, and plug local businesses. Or international businesses. Just plug whatever you like.